Well, all my rowdy friends are here tonight. Anna Kasparian, Jimmy Dore, John Iadarola. In fact, this group can be quite rowdy at times. And it's a bit literal from time to time. And boy, do we have a spectacular for you guys today. So I love the 2 weeks in. I mean, I don't know that you could have drawn it up that much better. If you have a president you really, really don't like, that 2 months in, you're already talking about his former national security advisor, already a sentence we like, right? Turning state evidence against him, and him being stupid enough to encourage it. So there's a lot going wrong for him there, and right, hopefully, for the rest of the country. The drones are being weaponized. We'll get to that in a second. There's a new excuse among the elite for their actions. There is sex panels. At the local level, that's in the second hour. I have a fascinating Yom Kippur reference to make, analogy to make there, the first ever Yom Kippur analogy ever done. There's these stories are happening. They're happening, okay? Their Pornhub has gotten a little bit safer. We'll tell you why.
They're being responsible.
Okay.
Yes.
And what is a digital strip search? And might you be exposed to it, if you will?
Yeah.
Okay. All of those stories are wonderful. That's happening.
Before we start with the stories, I developed bronchitis because of Jink, and so I'm on meds right now, and I might be high or might not be high. But either way,
that's like unrelated to the bronchitis.
Your face looks different. Did you do something different to your face?
Yes.
But in a good way. In a good way.
Yes. You know why?
There's snakes growing out of it.
Yeah. It's because I'm beautiful. I'm soon gonna do a shirt that says too pretty. I'm already too strong.
Anna, can I sell your drugs, please?
Anyway.
No, I've not done anything to my face. What the hell would I do to my face other than fix
it? Like, look younger or something right now.
Oh, great.
Seriously.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Keep taking that medication.
are you still doing Botox?
I think she's taking crazy pills. That'll do it.
Sorry for this tangent.
Yeah, no, I was actually noticing earlier today, my skin is looser, man. I'm older. It is. That's what happens. So no, quite the opposite. Okay, and to be fair to me, because you know I love being fair to me, I don't have bronchitis, so I don't know how I gave you bronchitis without having it.
I think my illness developed to bronchitis.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
after the initial Uyghur infection.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I will grant that there is some chance that I was patient zero here. Okay, all right.
I mean, I was sick too, but I was also 6,000 miles away, so I don't think it was me.
Oh, okay. You know, last thing before we get started on the hardcore news, tytnetwork.com/go, right? That's the journalism drive. Things are great. I want you guys to help out here. I want to do the usual thing. We got less than 30 days left. Like now, we got 29, 28 days left. Mm-hmm. Come on, you're going to miss it with can I see this number, right? Okay, so we're going to do that. But I got a late breaking news here that it turns out we are not out of TYT rings. So the people who were given $1,000, they were getting all the clips on the soundboard. They're getting the special shirts made for this campaign, and they were getting a TYT ring.
Nice.
Okay, and there's only 72 of those in existence, and it turns out we found a special trove of them. So tytnetwork.com/go to make that happen. Can I see? Do you guys have that pulled up? Can I see where we are? Okay, 1.563794. You know, shao modesto. Come on, modest. 565 by the end of the hour. I see 565?
How the hell did we get to that number in the first place?
Because that audience right there.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I believe the phrase is called too strong.
And
I believe
generous.
That's what it is.
Yes. Yeah. I've always been more impressed with the upper number rather than the lower number, the 46,000.
The number of people who've made donations.
That is more impressive. Mm. It's so difficult to get money online, like to get like memberships
Unless
or anything
you're a woman.
Like that. That's true. That's true.
Things.
Well, that's a whole
I'm on the opposite end of those transactions, but I get what you're saying there. And I think I'm making progress. I think I am.
Okay.
Okay, by the way, I should say that this camera that we're on right now is a Savannah Cooper camera. That's official now. Okay? And the actual title of the camera that we'll put on in a little bit will say Savannah Cooper, comma, We the People. Jordan's camera is No, I'm sorry. The Savannah's camera, Savannah took Jordan's camera. Stephen Garcia is the main show camera, the one we're looking at now. And it will say Stephen Garcia for the watch.
Oh, okay. they get to put words now?
I don't know. Give $5,000 for a camera, you're going to get to put a couple words on there. Okay. So cameras are $5,000. I think the desk is now officially gone.
Joe Thompson. You're a cuck.
Okay, no, we're not putting that stuff on. I reserve the right to mix your words.
What about for $10,000?
No. That desk is still available. And the Jimmy Dore chair is available.
What do we want for it?
$5,000 to endow your chair.
Oh, come on. That's low. This has got to be one of the most affordable, cool perks in the world, right? $5,000 and you get the Jimmy Dore chair? Are you kidding me?
For like years and years, yeah.
If I wasn't me, I would do it. If I wasn't already Jimmy Dore.
All right, tytnetwork.com/go. All right, for God's sake, let's do it, John.
Okay, yes, and related to that, for God's sake, that's why we're taking a break after one story. Okay. Anyway, no, we're going to jump into it, though. Yesterday, we reported on former Trump National Security Advisor Mike Flynn in his bid to barter his testimony before various House and Senate intelligence committees in return for immunity from prosecution. And today, we've gotten more information on that, not just from Flynn and his lawyer, but also from his former boss as well. So Flynn's lawyer, Robert Kellner, put out a statement about the situation, saying General Flynn certainly has a story to tell, and he very much wants to tell it should the circumstances permit, which might tantalize those who think that this might actually turn into something. But he also cautioned expectations, saying, notwithstanding his life of national service, the media are awash with unfounded allegations, outrageous claims of treason, and vicious innuendo directed against him. No reasonable person who has the benefit of advice from counsel would submit to questioning in such a highly politicized witch hunt environment without assurances against unfair prosecution, which is a reference to thesaurus heavy version of what a lot of lawyers are saying in the last 24 hours, which is in a lot of these situations, people ask for immunity. It doesn't necessarily mean that they've done anything. If you feel like your testimony could be used against you, or if you're not sure how an investigation is likely to develop in the future, why not ask for immunity? So that's what Robert Kellner is effectively saying there. And it's interesting that his language there actually very closely maps with Donald Trump's tactics in the last 24 hours. Donald Trump tweeted this, Mike Flynn should ask for immunity in that this is a witch hunt, excuse for big election loss by media and Dems of historic proportion. It's interesting that lately everything is of historic proportion. Everything's huge, except for the hands, of course. So there he's saying it's a witch hunt, don't worry about it. He's saying he should get immunity. Because immunity, everybody gets it. Donald Trump knows that. Mike Flynn knows that. They know that it doesn't mean anything. That's why you can go back through their history and find quotes where they're not being at all hypocritical, like this right here.
No individual too big to jail. That should include people like Hillary Clinton. I mean, five people around her have been given immunity, to include her former chief of staff. When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
That sounds bad. That's just Michael Flynn. I mean, what the hell does he know? Let's go to the most powerful man in the world.
Then her aides took the Fifth Amendment, and her ringleaders were given immunity. And if you're not guilty of a crime, what do you need immunity for, right?
Right.
That's a damn good question.
Right.
Okay. Now, granted, Jesus, neither of them are lawyers. Right. They know what the hell they're talking about. That's true. And this could well turn into nothing.
Right.
It could be him trying to make himself seem more knowledgeable or more connected than he actually is. But it also could turn into something.
Leave it to you guys for making this story relevant. Because for the last 2 days, this is all we've been hearing about. Like, oh, immunity, oh, Michael Flynn wants immunity, he wants immunity. I don't care.
Jake Tapper literally did that dance.
But like in my eyes, it was like, yeah, that's what should happen. That's what usually happens. Not should happen, but they ask for immunity in situations like this. Why is the media making such a big deal about it? But you guys found the one angle where it actually does make this story a little more relevant. Yeah, they're huge hypocrites.
Look at the high praise from her. You guys have found the one angle that makes this a little more interesting.
Yeah. It's true though, I'm just keeping it real.
No, look, so that Anna was out sick yesterday, so you might have accidentally watched cable news. And so that's the problem, right, that we have in this media environment. Since they overcover things 24 hours a day, it makes people not want to hear about it anymore. And I talked to someone who voted against Trump today, and but she was like, ah, I'm sick of the media.
Yep.
Constantly, you know, barrage of stuff. So, but at the same time, we do all the different stories, and this is one of them, and it is a relevant story. And so, look, they're hypocrites on it. But the other thing is that, and yeah, of course, he wants to get out of jail free card if he's going to testify. But that's not how immunity works. You get immunity if you have good stuff. So a prosecutor doesn't come in and go, oh, you might have committed a crime. Sure, have immunity. Why would they do that? That makes no sense. They will give you immunity if you're going to turn evidence against someone bigger than you.
Yes.
But they need assurances that it is good evidence against that person who's bigger than you. And if you violate your end of the deal, then you don't get immunity and you're in a world of trouble. Yeah. So these guys are not suckers. You don't go walk into the FBI like, oh, you want to give me a get out of jail free card? And they're like, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, we're handing them out, right?
Oh, I had one in my pocket, wanted to get rid of it. Here, you can take it.
So that's why Donald Trump, as usual, opening up a can of worms he probably shouldn't open. Because he's, in essence, admitting that there was a crime, and hence his former national security advisor needs immunity from the crime he committed, right? Mm-hmm. And if he has that immunity, schmuck, who is he going to turn evidence against?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, there's not anyone higher than the national security advisor that he could turn evidence against other than the president. You. Yeah.
Well, and the president's Schmuckorama. Bannon.
And maybe perhaps Bannon. And above Trump would be Bannon, right? But so these guys just, they're so unsophisticated. And it is a unifying theme for almost everything Trump does. And also Flynn, oh my God, that guy is so dumb. And so they think like, well, you know, like maybe they'll just give us immunity and we won't have to give them anything. Right? Not how it works.
Yeah. There was another interesting little tidbit in this because we have access to Twitter, so we get to see people's thoughts about this in real time. So the news came out yesterday that he had gone to House Intelligence Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee, also apparently to the FBI looking for immunity. So that was out there. Mm-hmm. And yet his son tweeted this saying, is anyone surprised the Mike Flynn hashtag fake news came out a day after the Evelyn and Farkas bombshell? I'm not. And as J.R. Jackson pointed out, he tweeted that both after and before retweeting articles that confirmed his dad was looking for immunity. Nobody's denying it. Their lawyer put out a statement. What the hell does fake news even mean anymore? He's looking for immunity. That's actually what's happening.
And
his son.
But Flynn's own lawyer says, we have a lot of news to share and would like to share it if we can get the appropriate circumstances, meaning protections.
Yep.
How could that be? And then he tweets out that statement from the lawyer later.
Yeah.
So how could that be fake news? You just tweeted it yourself. Plus, why'd you read the Evelyn Farkas part? Now you're going to focus on that bombshell.
Yeah. Which we looked into. Turns out, not actually a bombshell.
Oh, really?
Actually, nothing there.
Oh, wow.
So why would Trump endorse him wanting to get immunity? That's the thing I don't understand. Like, exactly what you said, like, because if he wants immunity, it says he was to turn in someone higher than him. So why would he be okay with that?
I think it's just the natural Trump thing of project strength.
Oh.
Everything is good for you. If he doesn't need immunity, that's good. If he does need immunity, that's good. I think that he has to try to pitch everything that happens as going well for him.
Well, the other part of it is, again, we overthink Trump way too much. He's just a dumbass. So I have a perfect example that just happened. You know, when he's like, oh, Obama's looking into me and wiretapping me. Why don't you guys do an investigation about whether I should be wiretapped because of my Russian connections? Oh no, I mean, I take it back. Don't worry about it. We shouldn't be looking into the Russian thing. It's overhyped, right? Oh, you idiot. Why would you give them a platform for them to look further into that issue? Because he didn't think it through, because he is stupid. He has never thought, like in chess, loses in four moves or less every time. Right? Like, he has no cognitive ability to think one step ahead. So in this case, he's like, oh yeah, they should get him a get out of jail free card. Yeah, he should be immune from your witch hunt. Well, how is he going to get it? Oh, against me? Like, he didn't think it through. He is stupid.
Yeah.
So do you think it's a case of Mike Flynn actually has stuff that he's going to reveal? Or do you think that he just wants to testify? But often people will you know, you're not supposed to ever talk to the cops because even if you're not guilty, they'll find something. Mm. You know what I mean? You could inadvertently reveal that he did something. Or is it one of those things you think, or you think he actually has
Dramsy.
Something?
Oh, Dramsy. I didn't even think about that.
I don't
think
he has anything.
It's possible. I think he thinks he doesn't know what he's going to possibly say that's going to get to them finding something.
It.
So he's worried. He goes, they're going to ask me 15 different questions, and I might say something about someone else that I don't know what their direct ties are, so to make sure that I don't get caught up with this whole mess. And he thinks that's it. So he also probably thinks it's a witch hunt, too. It's a witch hunt. You know how good they are at finding something out of nothing. So let me go ahead and get ahead of this. Mm-hmm. And then he also wants to look better.
Yeah.
Because he's not controlling his narrative anymore.
Yeah. One last possibility here is that Flynn is not the guy who made the actual deal, right? If there is a deal with the Russians and it's a financial one and not like, how's your father? We'll talk about the sanctions later. If you kind of leak out more of the Hillary emails, that's not that interesting a story. I'm sure every Democrat would say that's the high treason and yada, yada. No, treason is if he actually made a financial deal and sold out American interests for his own interest, mm-hmm. right? So maybe Flynn is not in on that deal and he thinks, I just got to get out of here, right? I don't know if they're going to charge me for meeting with the Russian ambassador or whatever. I just want immunity. I don't really have much to offer here. But that might be why Trump's like, yeah, sure, give him immunity, right? You'll know probably that they're on to something, that if they subpoena Carter Page or one of the other guys who might have actually done the deal, Roger Stone, whatever. I don't know. Of course, we don't know for sure which one of the henchmen did it, if it happened. And then Trump goes, and it looks like that guy's actually going to flip. And Trump's like, he should be given immunity. Why would you give that guy immunity? No way. I don't even know that guy. Right? Then you'll know, oh, that's the guy.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. Why don't we take our first break?
We're taking our first break, everybody. Okay. I'm in a fun, weird mood.
I like
it.
There's
a lot of dancing going on.
So she started that.
Yeah, she did. Technically Jake Tapper, then the next day she did.
She's the patient zero of the dancing phenomenon going on here.
That's the best kind of patient zero.
Chaffetz
was Saturday Night Fever, if you will.
Okay.
I thought it was funny.
All right. When we come back,
it's
idiot.
You can tell by the way I use my news. I'm a woman's man. No time.
All right. When we come back, idiot Republicans, and then the deep state. How real is it? And what has it done now? All right. Back at the Young Turks. I'm reading tweets. Big Doc writes in, why does Jimmy Dore always look like he just punched someone in the face? And is enjoying the decision.
It's true.
That second half of the sentence is awesome. Dances with writes in, is it me or does John Iadarola make Cenk look like he's got the kid's chair? Huge, giant John.
He is giant. Yeah. John's a big guy.
Yeah, what is going on? You're right. I didn't notice that.
Just sitting. Are you sitting on a cushion?
Because you're 6'1 and you're sitting on a cushion.
You're 6'1?
I just sat in the chair that was
doing. No, I don't think we should allow cushions for John anymore. No to stage crew, okay?
No, see, but that's why on the Fusion show, so many people would come up for like a picture or whatever and be like, wow, you're taller than I thought. Because we've been doing weird height socialism here where all the shorter people get propped up and I get like plopped down in a tiny chair.
I would get the exact opposite comment.
Yeah.
I do too.
You're really?
People go, you're shorter than I thought. I go, yeah.
Are we seriously going to take this?
Take it away. That's it.
Oh, look at that difference.
Give me a pillow break.
See, all of a sudden we look the same, right?
No, now I'm sitting like this.
Okay.
I'm sitting like this.
Okay, can I just say the phrase of the day is height socialism. Wait till the right wing get a load of it and they're going to be like, we knew it. We knew it. Okay.
All right, let's I'll be the host now.
Let's not forget, Jeb Bush did that at a debate.
Oh, he got his tippy toes when they took the picture, yes.
Yeah.
And he's already like 6'3 already. Anyway,
sad.
I knew that too.
That's how like Trump in pictures always puts his hands closer to the camera. It's really weird how he does that.
That's hilarious. All right, Adam Johnson says, even Cenk's cold was too strong. Brianna Kirkland says, all my TYT favorites on the power panel today. Thank you, Brianna. Gabby Marita says, Bernie's average donation was $27. Young Turk's average donation is $33. Real people wanting real journalists speaking truth to power. And we're not, I'm not saying anything about you, Bernie. I'm just saying, you know. No,
33, that's because.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton's was 150,000.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
33 is in honor of Larry Bird. I hope everyone knows that.
Yeah. Only one place I'd rather be, French Lick. Okay, $15 from Laura in New York, $27 from Timothy in Rhode Island. And
that sounds so filthy.
I know, doesn't it? $50 from Sylvia in Washington. Let me see, TYTNetwork.com/go. Did we get it? 1-5-6-3-9-4-6. No, we didn't. Not yet. Okay, we're trying to get to 565 by the end of the hour. We still have time, okay? We still have time before I go. Well, they're kicking me out the door. All right, John, I'll say that because Ray William Johnson coming in the next hour.
Whoa.
Oh, interesting. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Jason Chaffetz is the chair of the House Oversight Committee. That's one of the principal White House watchdog organizations in all of the Congress. He's the one who's supposed to watch out for illegal behavior. And it turns out that unfortunately he has some bizarre ideas of what actually merits attention or investigation. So this is coming out from an interview of Jason Chaffetz done by The Atlantic, where they had a couple of really awkward interactions. So the reporter said this. I asked Chaffetz if he was concerned about Trump reaping financial rewards from his presidency, but he just shrugged, said, he's already rich. He's very rich. I don't think that he ran for this office to line his pockets even more. I just don't see it like that.
Oh, well, as long as you don't see it like that.
As long as, yeah.
Rich people never try to get more money, do they?
No,
they don't need it. They're satisfied at some point with their finances, and they're like, you know what, I'm good. I don't need anyone to cut my taxes or to rig the system in my favor so I can become even more wealthy. Like the Koch brothers,
yeah. They
donate money,
just give money away.
Out of the kindness of their own hearts to these politicians. They're not looking to make an extra buck off those investments.
Bill Gates gave away Windows 2011 for cost. I'm pretty sure because he's got enough money. Cost, right?
Yeah.
So the last company Warren Buffett bought, he's like, no, you guys don't have to make a profit. I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Bill Gates has given away a lot of his money to his credit, but yes. Yeah. He does still charge for things.
Trump has not, by the way.
Let's get into a specific one because, of course, for the past couple of months, we've been talking about all of these extremely shady ways that he seems to already be making tons of money off this. I mean, the fact that he's in Mar-a-Lago every single week, the fact that they've been stuffing the Trump hotel in D.C. with foreign diplomats, and it was announced earlier this week that the Trump organization is looking to build a second hotel because there wasn't enough graft going on. So what about this? The reporter said, what about Jared Kushner's family exploring a $400 million deal with a Chinese company while he serves as a foreign policy advisor to the president? Was that worthy of investigation? Jason Chaffetz says, I don't see how that affects the average American and their taxpayer dollars.
No.
Just the fact that a staff person's family is making money, it's not enough. What do you mean it's not enough? He's not going to like get a machine gun and go through the streets of D.C. This is how they rob us.
Yeah, it's not like he opened
$1 million is not enough.
He didn't open up a string of lemonade stands in Georgia. He's making a deal with the Chinese for $400 million.
So I mean, it's so funny. If according to Jason Chaffetz's logic, though, I mean, to your point about in the streets, what if he mugged somebody and took $40 off of him in the streets? Chaffetz would still say, I mean, that's just a staffer mugging people in the middle of the street.
What's the difference?
Like, why would I investigate a staffer robbing people one at a time, right?
Why?
Or robbing maybe the taxpayers writ large? Why would I investigate that when I'm in charge of investigations? Why would I do that?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show that. We have yet another member of Congress who A, doesn't want to do his job, and B, has no interest in representing the people who elected him to represent them, right? Yeah. You should be concerned about the president using his office for financial gain. And that is what he has shown to do on various occasions, which were outlined by John. And no one cares, no one cares. And the thing is, our members of Congress aren't going to do anything for us, right? And the only thing that we can rely on is Americans getting so angry with their current financial situation that they actually rise up and do something about what's going on right now. Mm. Otherwise, what are we going to do? We're going to sit back and let Congress take care of this? They're not going to take care of anything.
And it's frustrating because so he's being kind of a jackass, but he's also being a little bit honest. I think that they all feel this way. Like it really doesn't bother them. The huge sums of money that seem absurd to us are routine to them. But I would say to you, the audience and the American people, are we not already so lenient in how we allow politicians to enrich themselves personally? All we ask is that preferably you wait until the day after you leave office. And then you can go to work for the industries that you used to regulate. You can make millions upon millions of dollars for doing 2 days of work every single year. You know what? If you start, if your value starts to go down, you go back into office and then do it again. We let them do so much, and even that isn't enough. Now they should be able to broker $100 million plus deals literally while they're sitting in the White House.
Yeah.
Okay. So two things about this. Number one, I don't think he's being anywhere near honest. I mean, he's saying I don't care. I guess that's partly honest. He didn't even say I don't care. I wish one day a politician would actually be honest and say, hey, look, I'm a Republican. So when the Democrats were in charge, I did nonstop nonsense investigations that had no merit at all because I'm a political hack. And so I did Benghazi. What happened? We did 9 investigations of Benghazi, and even Republicans concluded in all 9 investigations there was nothing wrong, right? But I did them anyway for politics. Now that my guy's in charge, Trump, no, I'm going to actively cover up what he's doing. Not only am I not going to do an investigation, I will secretly make sure that there is no investigation.
While publicly minimizing right. what he's doing.
And okay, yeah. so they're not, I know they're not going to be that honest, even though every single person watching this knows that, including the right wing, because the Democrats do likewise when they're in charge, right? Mm-hmm. But what drives me crazy is the mainstream media, who will pretend that this is an honorable gentleman who is, you know, oh, well, I mean, I really thought Benghazi was a thing. I had to do 8 or 9 investigations on it. What could I do? Oh, possibly stealing hundreds of millions of dollars and then doing favors for the Chinese while you're running the White House. Well, I just honestly thought that wasn't a thing, right? And the media will be like, oh, so he's an honorable gentleman from Utah, says it's not a thing. Why don't you just do what we do? It's not that hard. Call them out on it. And it doesn't matter. It's not a partisan thing. Democrats do it too. When their guy's in charge, no investigations, no, right? And when the other guy's in charge, I need investigations right now, right? Come on, how many?
It's simple, investigate them all. They're all corrupt.
Look, if you've been involved in covered politics for a day, let alone a decade, you're telling me you don't see that happening right in front of your eyes? You're that unbelievably naive or lack curiosity that you're like, wow, look at that, man. Republicans are in charge and now they don't want investigations. Another coincidence. Jesus, huh? Come on.
It's very similar to when after the when the healthcare debate was happening, or when they were trying to get a healthcare bill that they could pass. And I remember I was watching Shep Smith and he said, can you believe after 8 years of campaigning on this, they don't have a plan? I'm stunned. Really? You watch these guys every day and you're like, turns out they're a bunch of bullshitters. I had no idea. I had no idea. They seem so earnest. I mean, that's the same thing.
No, so the,
there's a lot of radiation coming off those huge iPads. It affects you over time.
Yeah. So this earnest conversation about whether this is political or not on air drives me nuts. Of course it's political. Of course, they're politicians, and they all bother to waste everybody's time on television. Like, this has a whiff of politics.
A whiff.
Okay.
Anyway, it has a whiff of something. It's politics.
That's exactly right. Okay, and then finally, the substance of the Anbang deal, for example. I'm amused by that title. But so this is the Chinese company Anbang, who
it's a character from Arrested Development.
Could you say it funnier?
Anyway, and then on the mainstream media, they will pretend that word is not funny. Anyway, so the Anbang people come over to Kushner. And they offer $4 billion for this building that he's got. He's had a lot of trouble with that building. Every real estate expert in New York goes, whoa, $4 billion for that building?
Biggest deal for a building in Manhattan.
Right. And he it was a mess for him in 2007, 2008. He bought it in 2007. Then the crash happens in 2008. He's not winning with that deal. It's been an albatross around his neck because he's trying to be, like, his dad is a fairly good wheeler and dealer. He's like Trump, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect son-in-law for Trump. And his first big deal was a giant disaster. So here comes the Chinese to rescue him. Anbang is connected to the Chinese government. Mm-hmm. And they offer what appears to be hundreds of millions of dollars above market value. So now they get to say, what? I didn't do a bribe. Maybe I paid at the top of the market for that building, and you happen to make a couple of $100 million more. Now, let's remember that the next time you're being senior advisor to the president on issues like the One China policy, the islands that we built in the South China Sea, trade, our you think he's not going to keep that in mind as he's one of the top advisors to the president? What does that mean? That means he's selling all of us out for his own financial interest. And Joseph Chaffetz looks at that and goes, well, just a staffer. Just a staffer. What's the big deal? I mean, what, he can't make money? No, your job is ridiculous. To see. And maybe it's not a deal. Maybe it's fair market value. Maybe it's he's not giving that advice to the president. But your job is to independently investigate that, not go, no, I'm not going to do any investigations. That's my guy.
So why don't we briefly turn to something else?
Just before we get off that, then, just, you know, now it's the dealing with the Chinese and, you know, with the Trump Sr., it's the Russians. And I heard that Trump is to, you know, to show he's not a puppet of the Kremlin, he's going to start insulting handicapped Russians.
Just to be fair.
And by the way, this Anbang deal is now on hold because it got so much attention. The Chinese
because of the name.
The Chinese are like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, I want to maybe keep my Anbang powder dry.
That's how okay. A couple hundred million over what Kushner paid for it. That's how much is built, like that's so it's bananas.
So it's a tiny bit more complicated than that. But yes, it's a great way to sneak in that amount of, that gigantic amount of money without it looking like a bribe. And by the way, it's not a new phenomenon. That's the oldest trick in the book, overpaying for a property. In fact, the Russians constantly overpaid for Donald Trump's properties down in South Florida. And so people were wondering if that was part of the what was called the global laundromat that Deutsche Bank was running, that Trump and the Russian oligarchs had their money in that same account. And so it's an old trick of like, I overpaid for this and then I get something else in return. In this case, since they're now in charge of the country, the something else in return is the Chinese get to control our foreign policy.
Exactly. So now we got to move on though, because we got important stuff that we got to get to before the end.
The Chinese overpaid for the property and then they're in debt. And now, so they're in like an Anbang hole is what's happening.
Okay.
I knew something was coming.
I can see the twinkle in his eye. Okay, let's leave DC behind for just a little bit. Turns out bizarre stuff is going on in other parts of the country as well. Connecticut is in the process of possibly laying the legal framework for police to deploy lethal weapons on drones, and they're doing it presumably by stopping people from putting lethal weapons on drones. So there's this bill that just got out of committee, went to the Connecticut House of Representatives, and it bars people from putting lethal weapons on drones, but specifically says that the police are exempt from this. Now understand that at present, police can't simply put a shotgun on a drone. And so it seems odd that considering they can't do it, they would put in this exception. And a lot of people are very concerned that this means that at some point they might want to do it. Now the State Police Officer Standards and Training Council would still have to approve new rules and train officers before they could use weaponized drones. So that'll slow them down by a couple months. So that's true. And right now, North Dakota is the only state that allows police to use weaponized drones. But currently limits it to less lethal weapons such as stun guns, which only kill hundreds of people a decade. But that doesn't mean that at some point you might not see grenade launchers, shotguns and things like that. There are ground deployed drones currently that the military uses that have weapons like that. And so it's not crazy to think that this could be the case. Now, why are they even discussing this in the first place? Well, we actually showed a video, I believe, last year. There's a man in Clinton, Connecticut, who put up YouTube videos of a drone that he had mounted a gun on and flamethrowers. And so it is a concern in Connecticut, that's true. But a lot of people are worried about this being the next big thing for police. Because think about it. You send police into a dangerous situation, that's scary. The police could be shot, it could be a big problem. But if you have a couple of shotguns mounted on some flying drone, have at it. Just send it in. What does it matter? If it gets shot down, you get a grant to buy another one. And so you might see a rise in a willingness to engage and use lethal force.
So I think that the concerns regarding police getting their hands on this type of technology and then abusing it are legitimate concerns, and I have no doubt that it will be a problem in the future. But with that said, I guess I'm feeling a little cheery today, so let's talk about some of the potential upsides. So what if you're dealing with a hostage situation, right? A weaponized drone might be a decent way, maybe, possibly, to handle that situation. I don't know. But there could potentially be some upsides to this technology, but I just want to let you guys know, get ready, it's going to happen. This is speculation, but I think it's an educated guess.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of what Anna's saying. With anything, it's not a black and white issue. There's, of course, upsides and downsides. If cops aren't going to get hurt while they're controlling a certain situation, that's an upside. Of course, that's great. Now, the downside is they're going to, since no one is a potential danger, which is a good thing, the downside is going to be that they're going to be less reluctant to use it. So they might wind up using force more. Because, I mean, what difference does it make? There's no downside to them. Nobody has the potential of getting hurt on their side. So we use the drones a little bit more. And so, but I agree with Anna, too, that it's inevitable.
More than likely inevitable.
Yeah. And look, sometimes we over-focus on the drone itself. All it is a tool. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what kind of force should police be allowed to use against citizens?
Yes.
That's the real heart of the issue, whether it's a cop doing it, it's a drone doing it, a horse doing it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yes, it is a tool that they will want to play with. And once you have the stun guns and the drones, shock and awe from there.
I guess more of my concern lies with, you know, our representatives and politicians, whether it be on a local level or a federal level, in terms of like what kind of legislation or policies they plan on passing or drafting to deal with it, you know, advancements in technology like this. Like, we're totally behind the wheel, not behind the wheel.
Hey, Paul.
Behind the curve?
Yeah, sure. Behind the curve when it comes to things related to the internet, for instance, right? And internet security and all that stuff. Let's not be, you know, behind when it comes to this particular issue. If we're going to have weaponized drones, then let's have members of Congress, or at least our local politicians, act to draft policy that makes sense in dealing with it.
Yeah, I love technology and I do think it's inevitable. I watch movies too. My fear is there's been a lot of new technology given to police departments in the past decade or two. I mean, the mine-resistant, ambush-proof vehicles and stuff like that. They are horny to use this stuff. I mean,
that's
we've seen
the problem,
it.
Yeah.
They just can't wait. As soon as they get something shiny and cool looking, they want to find an opportunity. It's like they say, you know, if all you have is a hammer, you see a lot of nails all over the place. And I think they're going to see a lot of things that a weaponized drone is the solution for.
Well, to be fair, John, I mean, you remember all those mines that common criminals have planted throughout the country?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Almost none that I've ever heard of in the last decade. Right?
I was vocally against the people of Ferguson laying mines in the middle of their roads.
So this is the problem with militarizing the police.
Yes.
And the more military style weapons we give them, certainly the more likely they are to use them.
Exactly.
Which is a problem no matter where you stand on the political spectrum.
Yeah.
Because if you think they won't use it against you, well,
wait till you see the drone coming.
Yeah, I mean, this would only be a problem, I mean, if there was a history of them misusing stuff.
Yeah, look at our archives. Okay, why don't we take our second break?
Yeah.
Lots more to get to later on the hour.
Yep. Okay. All right. When we come back, the deep state, is it real? And what has it done to a poor, poor Republican in Texas when we return? All right, back on TYT, Margaret Robertson, $15. I'm not supposed to read the last name. Simon, $27. Thank you, guys. Oh, well. Okay, Ben Peck.
Shit, I actually read the address. Oh, God.
No, I'm moving. All right, Dylan C. Digital says, am I crazy or is JR's little side set some days on camera left and some days on camera right? Yes, you're crazy.
I'm everywhere.
He floats up in the sky. He's like that, the high rise on the asteroid.
Skyscraper.
He's actually hanging down. He's the Spider-Man of the set. No, it's always in the same place. It's just a matter of where we put the camera. Okay, Diamondback says, let's hear it for the stage crew. They loved it when you took John's seat away. Michael.
Cut me down a size. Take me down a peg or two. I see how it is.
Literally, yes. Michael Napin says, John Iderola is the Wesley Crusher of the Young Turks Bridge.
Fucking
and
hell.
Jimmy Dore is Bones.
Bones.
And on the other hand, Marin Mary says, is it just me or does John get cuter and cuter with every show?
Oh.
It's just you.
Yes, unfortunately, Marion, it is just you.
But, maybe you're taking the same drugs I'm taking right now for this illness.
Yeah, right.
Maybe she has bronchitis.
Yeah, seriously. I'm very popular with the bronchitis crowd.
She said greetings from Germany, from Deutschland.
Oh, just came from there. That's right. What do you know?
And finally, you're going to love this one, Jimmy. Yeah, go ahead.
You know what they call a virgin in Germany, right? A guten Titan.
And then immediately thereafter, they go, mach schnell. You got to act quick. Okay, so Deborah NYC says, during the break, I saw tonight's lineup for Real Time with Bill Maher, Roger Stone, and Neera Tanden.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Thank goodness for TYT.
He's having Roger Stone on.
No, I'm done with him. Wow. I was done with him a long time ago, but I'm super done with him. He's unbearable.
New rules. Okay.
Why would you have Roger Stone on the show?
Why would you have him in your Uber? Mm-hmm. Why would you have him anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, no, it's okay.
But the Luis so Menz did some good
it's
work last
week. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot, but to be fair to Bill, there's a lot of strong progressives on the show. Sorry. Okay. All right. What's next, John?
Okay. What's next is actually probably my favorite story of the whole year.
Wow.
You might have woken up today thinking today is just a regular day, but it's not actually a regular day. It's a very special day. And not just a special day, a special anniversary. The 10-year anniversary of Miss Anna Kasparian joining the Young
Okay.
I started paying attention halfway into your talk because I was checking my phone. Oh, you guys made a banner.
It's the 10-year anniversary.
That's super sweet.
I was trying to add over the corner of my eye. When is she going to notice? When is she going to notice? Like, wait, it's about me.
Yeah.
thank you.
But anyway, very exciting. It's crazy that it's been 10 years. So I spent half that time working here, half the time as a fan, just flew right by. But for those of you who might not have been around the whole time, we wanted to take you on a very brief tour of just a few of the highlights. So enjoy.
I'd like to introduce the country to the lovely Anna Kasparian.
Kim Kardashian is best known for her celebrity feuds, including radio personality Anna Kasparian.
Look at this. No respect.
No, it's really sad. You're about to give us some sports analysis. I'm going to tune off. I was also wearing a skirt, so I tried on these really nice heels. And I started walking around in them. I'm like, you really like them? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, since you like them so much, you want to buy them for me?
Oh, come on.
I got a new pair of shoes.
Who has a commanding lead?
Anna Kasparian has the commanding lead.
That's right.
And I just kept kicking him. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't you ever do that to a woman again.
That's the thing that sucks about doing a show that's dominated by males. Because I say stuff like this, and I feel like I'm crazy. To me, this is the most obvious thing in the world.
There are very few jobs in the media where you get to say what you want to say, do what you want to do, cover stories you really want to talk about.
The best part was when she started speaking his language. Remember, he kept calling her a slut. It's like, what now, bitch?
But when a woman criticized him, oh hell no, you're just a twit and you're known for your boobs and not your brain. When you make the statement, when it bleeds, it leads, that goes against the whole point of journalism. It's not about, oh my God, what's going to get the most ratings. I mean, we're worried about voter suppression laws voter suppression that took place during this election. You don't think that they're going to pull the same shit in 2 years? If you focus on what's going to get you the ratings and ignore actual news, then you're not doing what a journalist is supposed to do. I am willing to open myself up to new information to better myself, that women have all the rights that they want by making a sexist comment about them.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh, damn.
I have a dirty mouth. Like, I curse a lot.
You're a bad, bad girl.
I'm a bad, bad girl.
I don't know, officer. What was I doing?
I love how much he obsesses over my frontal assault.
That's such a great nickname.
So.
Oh, I know.
I had no choice.
She had no choice. She just had to put the sexiest pictures in there.
I'm just trying to use the printer, and I find her doing this.
What I'm doing right now is what I aspire to do. I love it. I get to speak about issues that matter, and I get to say what I want to say without anyone, including Cenk, telling me, you can't say that. And it's a great feeling. And if I'm not going to be wealthy, if I'm not going to be famous, I don't care, right? As long as I feel fulfilled. Oh, my God. Yeah.
You guys are going to make me cry.
What was that video at the end where you were like, well, take your line?
So when John first started working here, I don't even remember what we did it for.
It was for the arm wrestling tournament.
Oh, so Misty and I were going to do the arm wrestling competition between each other, right?
Right.
And like I wanted to intimidate her, so John and I shot this like video of me training. And so that's where that's from.
So look, that was a lot of fun hearing Anna. You know, some of the great quotes from throughout the past 10 years. But let's turn to the other people around her because over the past 10 years, she's
You guys are gonna make me cry.
She's
had
a very strong impact on a lot of the people here in this building. And so here are some of their thoughts about Anna's 10-year anniversary.
So I guess it's been 10 years.
When Anna first got here, I thought, she's got some spunk.
My first thought was, this is a brave woman.
I met her the first day in a dark entranceway to an old building in a faded neighborhood of LA at 2 or 3 in the morning. A homeless guy had left a pile of poo on the stairs. Anna was still undeterred. She barreled right through that.
She came in middle of the night with a bunch of guys in a rickety old studio.
But she did it. She was brave. She trusted. And I think it paid off for her.
Oh my God, look at this little girl surrounded by all these dudes.
My first impression of Anna was, wow, this girl has her shit together.
How would I describe Anna? Vivacious.
A very caring person.
Hard worker.
She has a silly side.
Full of spirit.
She has a big heart.
She is just a great friend.
She's a larger than life personality.
And strong. Maybe even too strong. Definitely from time to time too strong.
I've considered the opportunity to work with Anna one of the great privileges of my job at TYT.
The person that they see on air, that's the person that she is off air.
So what you see is what you get.
She keeps it real.
She started on the show so young that she's basically grown up on the air. And so she just doesn't give any fucks.
I've seen the evolution of Anna from the young girl that we all first met that was a raver, responsible. Young adult.
I've gotten to see it firsthand, and it's something incredible.
She grew into a strong personality and a strong journalist. By the end, she became kind of a role model for people.
One thing that Anna taught me that really stood out to me was never to take myself for granted.
To not just dream about things, to just go out there and just go for it.
Just never give up.
If you don't believe in yourself, no one else will.
And I do think that Cenk evolving on a lot of issues is actually her influence on him.
Part of that is her carrying me, and I don't know that she knows how much she does that.
My favorite expression of Anna's is drums, drums.
I think I'm definitely gonna have to go with do you, boo.
You do you, boo? I think that's kind of legendary.
Do you, boo, obviously, because I think that she really lives it.
This is who I am. This is what I'm supposed to do. So just go out and do it.
You do you, boo.
I'm not sure that we could have done the Young Turks without Anna.
I don't know that would be TYT anymore.
It wouldn't be anywhere close to what it is if not for Anna.
But it wouldn't have been this, and this is pretty good.
I guess we had TYT without Anna before. But does anyone really think about that?
It would be a sausage fest.
I think she's had more of an impact than she realizes.
So Anna, I just want to thank you, as I've thanked you so many times, for giving me my entire career and life.
Thank you for interviewing me 7 years ago and giving me the opportunity to be here.
Anna, thank you so much for believing in me.
Anna, I'm surprised you're not a host on TYT Sports yet, because you're the best sport in all of TYT.
Anna, congratulations. You are amazing. You have made my time here at TYT what it is.
Anna, it's been 10 years. I'm the reason for your success. I always expect 10% of all salary you make from now on.
Here's 10 years and here's the 10 more and many more beyond that.
Happy 10-year anniversary.
Congratulations on 10 years.
Congrats.
Congratulations on your 10-year anniversary.
Congratulations. We love you.
Congratulations on your 10 years at TYT. I look forward to many more years working with you. My very, very favorite salty bitch.
Anna, I can't believe it's been 10 years. I feel great that we got to do this together for 10 years. And I don't know anyone else I would have rather done it with. I don't know if you know the impact that you have on the audience, but also the impact that you have on us. And I'm here to tell you that it is tremendous, it's wonderful, and from the bottom of my heart and everybody here, thank you.
Aww.
No.
That was really sweet.
So those videos were put together by Elle and Alex, I believe, and they did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. I mean, I love everyone here. I love coming into work. I I feel like I'm with my best friends and my family every day when I come in here. So thank you.
So I want to reemphasize one last thing, which is that, and I've been thinking about this ever since we recorded that. I don't know that TYT would have existed if you hadn't come along.
You're insane.
No,
like,
no.
You guys would have found a way and it would have been fine. But like, here's one thing that I do know. I did take part in the hiring of a lot of really great people here.
Yeah.
Right? Which I totally forgot that I interviewed Edwin. Edwin's the fucking man.
Yeah. I forgot that you are the one who caused Edwin. I'm thinking of redoing the tape. Okay. But in all seriousness, if we hadn't gotten lucky and you walk in at that exact right time as Jill was leaving, we're going to find someone else who is that smart, strong, passionate, and a fighter, someone who was going to figure it out and had that passion to get better and better and make the show better and better. So maybe we survive. Maybe we don't. Who knows? Maybe we don't. Mm-hmm. And even if we do survive, is it as good as it was, as it is now? Is it as big as it was? Does it get all the views that it got? So for all of us in the audience, thank you, Anna. Thank you for making TYT.
Thank you. This is amazing. I mean, I just asked you like for a huge 10-year bonus, but I guess I'll take this.
Well, yeah. One out of two ain't bad.
Yeah.
We can make you a video.
Specifically in place of that, actually.
It's good. It's good. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. I know we're a little over past time, but I promised you this deep state article.
You want this one?
Yes. So we're going to do. Let's do one last story, okay, in this hour.
Okay, I'm going to have a hard time immediately transitioning this because I was just thinking about the last 10 years with Anna. Okay. Former Congressman Steve Stockman's grand jury indictment earlier this week reveals a really amazing case study of both corruption and also the effect of money in politics. So he had a 28-count federal grand jury indictment against both him and one of his former congressional aides, and it includes charges of mail and wire fraud, lying to the FEC, excessive campaign contributions, and money laundering. I love that you can actually, there's something called excessive campaign contributions. I feel like there's like 535 people that should have that against them. But anyway, the basic idea here is that they used fake charities to get a ton of money and to use it for their own interests. They're accused of using hundreds of thousands of dollars stolen from charitable foundations to bankroll Stockman's congressional campaigns and pay off their personal expenses. Incredibly personal, and we're going to get into the specifics shortly. Stockman, though, says this is all BS. He's being targeted by a deep state that's continuing to progress. And he warns you of toilets that can spy on you. You threw away your microwave and thought you were safe. You won't as soon as you go to take number two. But anyway, so a large chunk of this huge sum of money that we're talking about, it's well over $1 million that supposedly was being brought in by these shell corporations and charities to be used for charitable things, was actually diverted to fund Stockman's successful 2012 House run, his failed 2014 Senate run, and personal expenses. Now let's have a little bit of fun. Let's show some of the personal expenses that he uses for. $41,000 funded covert surveillance targeting someone that he thought might be a challenger in a primary election. He was hiring like private eyes with charitable money. $20,000 going to book business to buy books to send to the donors, which also then has the side effect of making his brother's book look more popular than it was. $11,000 for a female friend of his to take an alcoholism treatment program.
Oh my God.
And even just $2,200 for summer camp for a nephew and the daughter of a family friend.
Wow.
Well, you got to give it to him. He is generous.
He's generous. Just here. Making it rain on other people's money.
He's like, oh, nephew, you want to go to a summer camp? Sure, I got money for that.
But it's not his fault. It's the deep state's fault. The deep state made him spend that money on his nephew's summer camp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So now, look, we've had this conversation before. The deep state used to exist and be very powerful. Now it's in tatters. It's largely a bureaucracy of people who are paper pushers, and they're not savvy enough and organized enough to pull off any of the coups they used to do and all the stuff that happened in the past.
Or it could be to some extent non-physical. It's norms and traditions and institutions that have been set up that don't even necessarily require individual action to maintain them.
Yes, and it's not like there hasn't been any unjust government prosecutions for political purposes. Siegelman in Arkansas, targeted by Karl Rove, it was a travesty of justice what happened to him. And there's arguments to be made that the CEO of Quest was targeted because he didn't go along with the Bush-Cheney administration. Argument to be made, CEO of Overstock.com was targeted. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's hard to tell, but there's interesting arguments to be made there. And he's a libertarian, so it's not just right or left or anything along those lines. In this case, what is your argument? Like Anna said, the deep state's like, I got it, dude. Let's find Stockman's nephew and send him to a camp. Steve Stockman's brother's got a book. Let's pump up its sales. Like, if that's what the deep state is down to, it's in worse shape than I realized.
Yeah.
It's just in today's, like today, I feel like one of the hardest things to get charged with when you're a politician is anything related to campaign finance violations.
Oh, ask Dinesh D'Souza. He'll tell you how to do it.
That's true.
So the two guys who got caught, yeah.
I feel like as a politician, you have to try really hard to break the campaign finance rules.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
And that's what he did. He tried really hard and he succeeded.
It's like getting arrested for going to a prostitute in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's pretty much it's legal. But somehow you did it the wrong way.
Exactly.
Because technically it's not illegal in Las Vegas, you have to go a little further out, right?
Yeah.
And like in Amsterdam, it's technically not legal to smoke pot, but you got to work hard to get arrested for that, right?
That's right.
That's Steve Stockman.
Yeah, and this also shows. I mean, look, he was basically defrauding charities or setting up fake charities and all that, but a lot of it was to fund political campaigns. And so we talk constantly about the normal way that money perverts outcomes in terms of policy and how you get a totally different sort of politician than you would if the votes actually were what mattered. But also, just by having that system set up where it's expected that tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars will frequently be flowing in various directions, millions of dollars will be spent, you create a system where it's easy to hide and to feel the incentive to do these sorts of crimes. It breeds additional corruption and crime simply because money is the foundation for the entire system.
Mm. Yeah, and look, it also, by the way, exposes the hypocrisy of the Supreme Court and the right wing who think that money is speech. Well, that's the basis for Citizens United and all their decisions. So now the sophisticated corrupt politicians, which is most of them, go, okay, give me the money for my campaign, mm-hmm. right? And then I won't do what you're asking, right? And then by the way, afterwards, remember to hire me as a lobbyist. So that's how they win the campaigns and then they get personally enriched. And later I'll make speeches, also Democrat and Republican, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll give me money for that, etc. Stockman is unsophisticated, he's a dumbass. So he's like, why don't I just take the money now and spend it now? And I'll give it to my brother and my nephew and I don't know, I'll just spend it, right? Oh yeah, yeah, you schmuck. So thank God that he butchered it and didn't do it the right way, so he gets caught in a lot of legal trouble. But if you're the Supreme Court and you say money is speech, that's why they can give them campaign contributions or do independent expenditures, well, then why do you care that he took their money and spent it on himself? He didn't spend it on himself, he just talked to himself. Yeah. Money is speech, right? So what difference does it make if it's a campaign contribution or it goes straight into his pocket? You just talked into his wallet.
Yeah.
Hey, here's $450,000.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that money is speech is preposterous when you just realize, oh yeah, that would make bribery illegal.
Yeah. They reached out for comment to Jason Chaffetz, and he said, I don't really see anything wrong here.
So he talked to himself? Is that the first time you've said that?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think Jimmy comes on the show just to get material for that.
This guy spits out great lines. I got to write them down, or else you'll never hear him again.
Okay, God bless. All right, thank you, John. Ray William Johnson, first appearance on The Young Turks. That's going to be fun. And we got a whole heap of stories for you guys. Are we being too mean to El Chapo? And I think that there is actually an argument for that. And if you go on Pornhub, will they be able to tell what kind of porn you watch? The authorities. Mm. Mm. You're not going to want to miss that story when we return.